Of the Crimson Tide and at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV. Crimson Tide Kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Let's do this. Welcome to the Gary Harris Show. It's Monday, December 15th, 2025. We're just 10 days away from Christmas. Golly. and halfway through December, a new year is almost here. It's unbelievable how fast time is going by. This football season is, for the most part, well, college football-wise, it's in the books, except for the postseason. I mean, the Army-Navy game, a great game on Saturday, won by Navy 17-16 over the Army, wrapped up the college football regular season. We've got bowl games. We've got the college football playoff. The NFL is in the stretch run. And, boy, this NFL, I watch it. I love it. I have a hard time watching the games, trying to figure out who's the team that is the playoff team versus the teams that are already eliminated. That's what competition's all about. And once again, the Panthers in a perfect position to have a great chance. They still have a chance, but really, if they'd have won yesterday in New Orleans, they would have been in the catbird seat as far as the NFC South is concerned. But what do? They lose to the Saints for a second time on a last-second field goal. And then last night, Cowboys still clinging to some playoff hopes. Vikings go into Dallas, put one on them. The Chiefs are eliminated from playoff competition. It's just crazy. It really, really is. We got a lot to cover this morning, though. I mean, we've got a ton to cover. We're going to get to it all in just a second. But first, I need to tell you, this hour of the Gary Harris Show, as always, being brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. Member-owned and not-for-profit, it really is just a better way of banking. I encourage you to find out more at alabamacu.com. That's alabamacu.com, Alabama Credit Union. Loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership to join today and feel good about your money. And put a little extra change in your pocket. All right, Alabama football practices today. There is a media availability period. We haven't had that in a long time. So media at 10:50 will be allowed to go watch practice. Then they have player and coach availability this afternoon for as, sound is concerned. So a big day for Alabama football. The Tide leaves on Thursday to go to Norman to play the game on Friday night against the Sooners, first round of the college football playoff. Rodney Orr will join me at 9:30 to discuss Alabama football in depth. Also recruiting, big news there that we'll get to. And at 10:30 this morning, Casey Smith on golf and other topics. Those are our guests. Phone calls are welcome, 205-342-9904, 205-342-9904. We've got some calls already. We'll get to them in the next segment. All right, let me go ahead and bring Chase in this morning. Chase back in the control room. I'm not in studio this morning, but Chase is, and we talked about it on Friday. He is now a proud graduate of Mississippi State University. He walked and got his diploma, and boy, a major accomplishment, life accomplishment. Good morning, Chase. How are you?
I'm doing well, Mr. Harris. It's good to hear your voice. It's crazy how fast college goes. Hail State, it's good to have my degree and everything. But thank you so much, everybody, for congratulating me. And it's just on to what's next. But I'm still here, and I'm happy to be a part of the Tide 100.9 family.
Well, glad to have you back. And a lot to unwrap as far as you moving on with the rest of your life. But as I said, a lot of people were really happy about it. And, we discussed it on Friday. And great to have you as a college graduate producing the Gary Harris Show. And what a weekend. Let's talk about a little bit, Chase, about you and I both follow the NFL. And it's fun and it's frustrating at the same time, because when you've got a team that you're wanting to do well and they put themselves in position to do something, you just feel like, man, they can't close the door. The Ravens get a nice win yesterday, but they're still scrambling a little bit. But they get a win, and The Eagles got back on track with a win over the Raiders. Ravens won it at Cincinnati. Got a shutout win, in fact. But here's the one that's just gotten me so frustrated. The Carolina Panthers, they get the gift on Thursday night when the Falcons go into Tampa Bay and beat the Bucs. So there's a clear path for the Panthers to win the NFC South. They'd already lost to the Saints at home. You know, Saints in last place in the NFC South. They go into the Superdome yesterday and kind of, you know, wasn't a, you know, never really separated, but they kind of controlled that game. They were in position to win that football game. And I thought Dave Canales got incredibly conservative. Now, he did go for a fourth down, which didn't work out. But as far as the play calling, and they, you could tell they were just trying to hang on, which is what Carolina kind of does. That's why they can seem to knock off the really good teams. They've beaten the Packers. They've beaten the Rams. Now they've lost to the Saints twice, Chase. And you kind of cancel out those two big wins because it would have been better to have beaten the Saints twice as far as your division is concerned and then lost to the Rams and the Packers. But one thing that happens, they're terrible as a favorite. I think that's 12 times in a row they've lost as a favorite because when they're in position and they start thinking they should win, they play differently than when they're going out against the team that most people don't think they have a chance against. And we saw that against the Saints again yesterday.
100%, Gary. It's so weird because Bryce Young is having a pretty particular good season. Offense is pretty good. Defense is definitely catching up. But then when it comes to their rivals like the Saints, they can't find their number, you know, and they're a great team, and I think they'll be dangerous in the playoffs, but they just have to take care of the games they're supposed to win. It's that important, especially with, you think about the Chiefs, how they kind of, they're eliminated, you know, and kind of with the Ravens, and so many teams are on this bubble, and it's like, you've got to win the games you're supposed to win, or you're going to have a lot of question marks in the offseason. And like you said before, the Panthers are not good as favorites. It's the weirdest thing I've seen with them this year, especially with everything that's going down in Carolina. But, Gary, I don't know. They can turn around because the NFC South is a pretty winnable division, but they've got to seize it now or they're going to be scratching their heads in the offseason.
Yeah, it's the good news for the Panthers is they play the Bucs twice in the final 3 weeks. So they still control their own destiny. But boy, if they'd have won yesterday, they would have been in good shape. All right, we got a jam-packed show on tap for you. As I said, Rodney Orr at 9:30 coming up. Casey Smith at 10:30. We've got some audio from Nate Oates, Alabama basketball. Man, they were up at half in Birmingham on Saturday night against number one Lake Arizona. Then they went out and got outscored 52-32 in the second half and wound up getting pummeled. They didn't get outscored. They got out-rebounded in the game 52-32, but they got outscored by a great amount in the second half. They wound up losing the game 96-75 after having a halftime lead and got out rebounded 52-32. And boy, was disappointing as the Tide when they play these. Of course, most people don't have success against these big physical experienced teams, but it shows you that Alabama, when it comes to rebounding, they can talk all they want about it, but I'm just not sure, you know, they're built to rebound well against these type of teams with the kind of style that they play. And anyway, we'll talk more about that as well. All right, let's go ahead and take our break on the phone lines. We've got Tom and we've got Corey and Trustful to get to in the next segment. Rodney Orr coming up at the bottom of the hour. Gary Harris show is off and running. A beautiful morning, but a cold one. We'll be back after this.
Here's what's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Monday morning. The Walk for Peace, a 120-day, 2,300-mile journey by Buddhist monks from Texas to Washington, D.C., is in Meridian, Mississippi this morning. And they are expected to cross into Alabama along U.S. 80 later today, where they will walk through Sumter, Marengo, and Perry counties.
When you need to know, there's only one place in West Alabama to go. The Tuscaloosa Thread. Download it for free now in the App Store or Google Play.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch.
We can help you with the protection that's right for you and the things you love most. Allstate. Are you in good hands? 248. 248-0303.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside on the beautiful patio. Come by and say hello to Kim and Lisa, the Billy's management dream team. Billy's, good food, good friends, and good time.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9. Tuscaloosa weather. A sunny sky today after a frigid morning, the high at 41. Clear tonight, not as cold as last night, below 26. Tomorrow and Wednesday, mostly sunny both days with a warming trend. The high tomorrow 52, the high Wednesday 58. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 25 degrees in Tuscaloosa. You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
Just see those sleigh bells jingle and ring, ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling.
9:41, welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. It's brisk out there this morning, but it is absolutely beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful day as we are 10 days away from Christmas. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. We got phone calls to get to. We're going to get to the sheriff, Tom, and then we'll talk with Corey and Crustwell. Hey, Tom, good morning.
Morning, Gary. How are you?
Doing well, thanks.
You know, this time of the year is when I start locking in on NFL. And I think a lot of it has to do with the weather. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
But yesterday was one of those days that when I turned on the tube, there was Buffalo and New England. And my goodness, what a great game that was. But when you were starting talking about NFL first thing this morning, I thought, you know, and I thought this yesterday during the game, Josh Allen is just a plain-out stud. That's all you can say about it. He is a freaking stud. Down 24 to whatever it was at halftime, comes out, drives the ball down three, four times in a row, gets back in the game, and then eventually wins it. And I'm saying, yeah, he had some help from some of his teammates, but he is definitely a great quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like Mike Vrabel said after the game. Somebody asked him, he said, well, what do you want me to say? He's 6'5", he's 250 pounds, he's got a great arm, he makes all the throws, he can run, he's hard to get on the ground. Yeah, he's an unbelievable player. And the Bills were down 21-0 in that game and came back and won. Huge win for them. The Patriots would have clinched the division with a win. And now Buffalo still has a chance, but all those games yesterday, man, there were so many good games. I mean, you know, you look up.
The Green Bay game was outstanding.
Yeah, it was just, you know, the Packers, Broncos, what a game that was, man. And the Jets, and I mean the Jets, the Lions and the Rams. And we had, you know, major injuries yesterday with Mahomes, this season coming to an end. The Chiefs not going to the playoffs for the first time in many years, and now it's feared that Micah Parsons has a torn ACL as well. So they play a lot of games. It's a long season. It's a lot of collisions. And this time of the year, man, guys start going down. It's It's an intense game.
The Packers lost Parsons yesterday, and he's been on absolute fire the whole year. And they lost him, and that's gonna hurt right there. And I wanted to say this about Allen. And I listened to an interview by David Sutcliffe about Josh Allen. I thought you might find this interesting. The coach before he played college, was it Montana?
Wyoming. He played at Wyoming.
Right. And anyway, the coach out there called Cutcliffe, their friend, and he said, David, he said, I got a kid out here that is a great quarterback. And said, I want you to take a look at him. And so David told him, said, I tell you what, dude, I'm going to come look at him, but I want you to get him in the Manning Passing Academy. And so he comes down there, and David looks at him and everything, said, yep, you got a talent there. And so he goes to the Manning Passing Academy. You know this story?
No, go ahead and make it quick.
And he goes down there, and Archie calls Coach Cutcliffe, and he says, this kid is the best wet ball thrower I ever seen in my life. David calls Buffalo and tells them that, and they draft him.
Wow. Isn't that something?
I thought that was interesting. Yeah.
Oh, very interesting. And, yeah, he was not highly recruited, obviously, out of high school. Kind of a project, wound up in Wyoming, and now he's arguably the best in the NFL. Hey, thank you, Tom. Great story. Appreciate you. Great story. All right, let's get to Corey over in Frustville. Hey, Corey.
Good morning, Gary. How are you this morning?
Doing great, buddy.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the NFL. You know, a quarterback that we all knew he was talented coming out. But I tell you this, Trevor Lawrence has really turned it on these past few weeks. And I know they were playing the Jets yesterday, but he threw 5 touchdown passes, and he had, 330 yards. But this is the quarterback that they've been hoping he would be. They have a chance to lock up the division probably next week. So that's a team that people are starting to talk about. I hate, no one likes Patrick Mahomes sort of the way he is, but at the same time, I hate that he got injured like that. I mean, it's just, you kind of like you push them off the cliff now, because now their ego's down, and you wonder when he's going to come back next year, because that's a 9-month recovery, and it'd be pushing it for him to come back in September, but, and then with Micah Parsons the same way, but, what's crazy is that these teams that we all thought was going to be in the playoffs, you know, Detroit, Kansas City, teams like that are not in the playoffs. And that's why the NFL is so unpredictable, because what you think you know, you don't know.
That's exactly right. You said it. And we talked about it last week. Once you're at the top, boy, the next year, it's going to be hard. It's hard to stay there. That's what makes what the Chiefs have done remarkable. There's so much parity in that league. The schedule's weighted in terms of how you played the year before. And, you said it. I mean, every team that plays, and, you watched the Saints play yesterday, and they're going nowhere. And they played that game like it was a playoff game. It was intensity. These teams that aren't going to the playoffs, the Vikings last night, they bring it. And that's part of being a professional, And so – just because you're considered one of the better teams doesn't guarantee you anything. And you're absolutely right, man. We look at some of the teams that are leading divisions as opposed to what we thought we would see, and it's remarkable. Now, the Eagles did bounce back yesterday. They held the Raiders 75 total yards, which is unbelievable. They got a big win. And you mentioned the Jags and Trevor Lawrence, but I tell you now, they've got the Texans nipping at their heels. So they've got work to do, and the Texans are still in position there. So it's going to be fun these next few weeks, and it's going to be exciting for sure, Corey. And go ahead.
Who do you got tonight?
Oh, boy. Who do you have? Let me ask you first, because this is a tough game for me to call tonight.
Well, I'm going to go with my team in Pittsburgh. Would T.J. Watt being out, it's a big deal. And I'm concerned he may not play the rest of the season with that collapsed lung.
Well, I'm pulling for the Dolphins now. I will tell you that. I'm pulling for the Dolphins because I want to see Tua and Waddle get the win, and it would help the Ravens, who I'd like to see with Derrick Henry do well. So, but that's a tough game to call, I think.
You know, I think if I'm not mistaken, Pittsburgh is like 15-14 against Miami all the time, and Pittsburgh's not really done well in Monday Night Football recently, so that's interesting. And one more thing before I go, and what I was trying to explain to you on Twitter was Alabama basketball, there's nothing wrong with losing to Arizona. It's the optics of the game. I mean, you don't call a timeout, and I get what Nate Oates is saying, but you got to stop the bleeding somehow. I mean, that just didn't look good from an optical view. I mean, did you think?
No, I agree with you. We'll play his comments later. I agree with you. He was asking about not calling a timeout when Arizona came out and went on that unbelievable run to start the second half. And he said, well, what am I going to do, call a timeout and tell them to play harder? No, you're going to call a timeout. Just try to stop the run. Just try to kind of get a reset button. I mean, I'm with you. I don't understand not calling timeout there. I mean, it may not have changed the outcome, but, you know, a lot of times we see coaches call timeout, and after, you know, a three-minute break, they come back out, and it kind of – the game's a little bit different. I'm with you. I don't know. I didn't like that answer. I didn't like the – I know what he's saying. Hey, we should, you know, we shouldn't have to call timeout to get our guys to play hard. But at the same time, I mean, I'm with you. I don't understand that answer, that line of thinking, and – anyway, second half,
They just got this. I told Jason, this is just my opinion. I don't think this team's that really good. You can't rebound the ball. All right, thank you, Corey. We got to go, man. 9:31 here on the Gary Harris Show. We're going to come back with Rodney Orr from Tyler Insider.com. Tyler Insider TV, next.
If you have an infection, flu-like symptoms, or if you need a vaccine, ask your doctor about Tremfya. Call 1-800-526-7736 or visit Tremfya.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather. A sunny sky today after a frigid morning, the high at 41. Clear tonight, not as cold as last night, the low 26. Tomorrow and Wednesday, mostly sunny both days with a warming trend. The high tomorrow 52, the high Wednesday 58. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 25 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Never miss a moment of the action. Download the free Tide 100.9 app today.
And it is time for Rodney Orr from TiderInsider.com, Tider Insider TV, for his weekly segment. And we have a lot to cover this morning. How's it going, Rodney?
It's going well, Gary. How are you?
Very well. Thank you. Let's start with Kalen DeBoer. We live in a time where, even though you've got a great job at the University of Alabama and you're preparing for a first-round college football playoff game against the University of Oklahoma Friday night in Norman, you put out a statement through Yay Alabama yesterday to confirm that you're happy being the coach at Alabama and you have no interest in other jobs because of the fact that his name has been constantly mentioned in regards to the opening at Michigan. So hopefully he nipped that in the bud on Sunday, Rod.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly sounds like it. I mean, this is the second time here recently, you know, obviously with the recent Penn State job as well. So, you know, obviously there's a lot of top programs that think very highly of Kalen DeBoer. And, you know, I think the statement was pretty clear that right now he's happy where he is.
And happy to have an opportunity to play. Alabama gets into the playoff after missing out last year. And now they go to Norman, as I mentioned, on Friday night. Is it practice of viewing availability for the media this morning and then some sound coming up this afternoon? So a busy day for Alabama football. Rodney, is it too simplistic just to say that Alabama needs to do everything that it did against Oklahoma in the first meeting and just not turn the ball over? Is it that simple? Because Alabama had a lot of success in that game outside the turnovers.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the turnovers were the big thing in the game. You know, you look at it, it contributed to at least 17 points. I thought Alabama was two touchdowns better than Oklahoma in the game. I really did. I thought, you know, obviously you set them up with short fields. You have to credit Oklahoma. I mean, they did a fantastic job defensively. I thought they were really physical. But they did a fantastic job of creating turnovers and also on special teams. You know, they had a big special team play when they knocked the ball off Ryan Williams, and that set up a score. So, you know, I think protecting Tide, because I don't think you can go to Oklahoma and expect Alabama to line up and run the football against this defense. Alabama's not run the ball very well for the most part this year. I don't expect to, you know, suddenly see them become a dominant running team by any means. But certainly if they could establish some run, I think it would be really helpful for Ty Simpson. But I think this game is going to come down to offensively for Alabama, Gary. They're going to have to utilize their wide receivers, Ty Simpson, and do what they've done best, what they've been most successful doing this year is they've got to find a way to throw the football and move it and hopefully possess some time there, have time of possession in their favor and produce some points. It's going to be a real challenge against that Oklahoma defense. But I'm like you. I do think ultimately it comes down to can Alabama protect the football? Will they protect football? Because when they've struggled this year, they've lost games. It's been mostly, you know, turning the ball over and beating themselves.
How important is the kicking game? We saw, again, Georgia's got a great punter. So does Oklahoma. We saw Georgia win the kicking game against Alabama. It was a factor in the SEC championship game, and certainly it was a factor in the first matchup against Oklahoma. How important is it that Alabama be sound in every area? I'm not talking about, obviously, yep. You know, people look at Talty kicking field goals and kicking off, but in the punting game, in the punt return game, obviously you don't want to get a punt blocked. How big an aspect is
huge.
That? Okay.
It's huge. I mean, look, you look at the first Oklahoma game. They missed a chip shot field goal to Alabama, did. They lost by two. I mean, they gave up a fumble on a punt return. You know, that cost them points. So that was really huge in that game. You look at the Georgia game, and the tone was set with the block punt. Again, Georgia dominated the game, in my opinion, no doubt about that. But it was all set up very early with the block punt. So that was really crucial. So I think, you know, special teams obviously going to be huge, you know, in this game, as they usually are. And again, the turnovers, special teams, just not beating yourself. I think that's a, you know, certainly a real key for Alabama. And you look at the games Alabama's won, Gary, they just totally flipped the script. You look at Auburn. When they force the turnover late. You look at Missouri when they force some crucial turnovers, especially there at the end. You look at Vanderbilt when they force some turnovers. That was really big in that game. You look at Tennessee right before half, you get the pick six, 99-yard return. So those things have worked in Alabama's favor as well, and I think when they do, that's when we see Alabama successful, and when they don't, that's when we see them really struggle.
Another big aspect of any game, particularly this point in the season, now you're in the postseason after a long year, is health of a football team. And I know hopefully we'll get some more information this week as we get closer to the game, Rodney, but Alabama really banged up down the stretch. No Quavis, no Jam Miller against Georgia. You know, a lot of concerns about Ty and where he's out health-wise. And just overall, you know, Overton didn't play. Kelby Collins didn't play against Georgia. You know, what have you been able to find out as, you know, as far as this team's health and physical readiness for this game?
Well, I mean, I just know Kalen DeBoer said repeatedly that it would be a different team. Said that right after the SEC championship game, that they'd be a different team in 2 weeks when they had all their guys back recovered. And I think the expectation is to have them back. You know, we'll see on Josh Quavis. I think Jam Miller will be good. I don't know about LT Overton status. I think he has practiced, though. So that would be encouraging. Cam Dewberry at left guard, I think he's expected back. Again, overall, and I don't know about Kelby Collins, but overall I do think that the expectation is they're going to be in much better shape for this game than what they were in the SEC championship game. And, you know, certainly I think that'll be a real key as well.
All right, I want to ask you about, I want to follow up on Ty, because there, and listen, a lot of this is speculation, so it's not based in anything other than, you know, your board, TylerInsider.com, other Alabama sites that cover Alabama. And so there's a lot of chatter about Ty's health, and, you know, a lot of people that are on these boards saying that he's really having major back issues, but he continues to play. So we know there's a difference between being injured and being hurt. And when your quarterback's out there, the expectation is that he's healthy enough to play. But he did not play well down the stretch, Rodney. You know, how much of that do you think has to do with the fact that maybe he's less than 100%? And how much of it has to do with the fact that, you know, he's people have tape on him now. You know, he came in to the season basically unknown. And during the course of the year, people get the video of you and the offensive scheme and grub. And it seems like it's gotten more difficult for him as the season has gone on. How much do you think of that is just he's played more football now, people know his game, or the fact that maybe he has had to deal with an injury? What can you tell us on that?
Well, I think certainly he's had to deal with some injuries or an injury. But I would also say this, you know, they called design runs for him against Auburn. And even there late at the game when they're trying to run the clock out, he's running the ball. So I don't think they would put him at that kind of risk if they felt like he was significantly injured. I think, you know, and again, I did talk to an NFL quarterback about it who watched Ty and said that, you know, watching his throwing motion, whatever his injury was, that he didn't believe he was impacted that significantly by what was going on. So, again, I think there is an injury factor there. I just don't think it's something that's really necessarily cut into his play that much significantly. So I do think that some of the other things that you mentioned, I do think defenses have kind of adjusted. I think that the pressure that these teams have been bringing, you can look at Missouri, look at South Carolina, you know, and certainly some of the other school teams that they played, Oklahoma really dialed up some pressure. And I think they're going to see it maybe even more so in this game coming up on Friday night. I know, obviously, Georgia, which has not been a real high-pressure team, you know, found ways to create some pressure. So I think that's been a real key with him. And, you know, look, I've said this. This is a quarterback-centric offense. I can go back and look at what they did at Washington. I remember the Texas game in the semifinals when they played. Penix had pressure all in his face. They expect the quarterback to make plays, to make changes to plays, to carry the load, to shoulder the load, to make throws in the face of the rush, and all of those things. Penix did those things in that game. So I don't think this is really something different for their offense. I mean, I think it's what it is. And with that said, I think I could certainly use some help from the run game. Gary, I really do. I mean, it's any quarterback could. So I'm not putting it on time. I'm just basically saying that I think a big part of this offense is the quarterback's expected to make a lot of plays and do some things to avoid, you know, mistakes in this offense. It's a lot on the quarterback. And, you know, again, I do think that it's unfortunate that Alabama right now with Jam was out in the SEC championship game, which I think even limited the run game more. So, it's been tough on Ty. There's no doubt about it.
All right, Rod, I want to talk big picture here and what this game means for Alabama and for Kalen DeBoer. You know, it started the season with a miserable loss. It was a miserable loss then. It's still a miserable loss. That loss at Florida State was just really, based on what we thought this team was capable of, incomprehensible. But they bounced back from that. They put together a really nice run. But then they had the hiccup at home against Oklahoma. Did not play well in the SEC championship game, but still they're in position. They got to Atlanta. They're in the playoffs. Now you get to play a team that's beaten you twice and has a chance to beat you three times in 13 months. Weather's supposed to be good. That shouldn't be a factor. It's supposed to be highs, you know, in the upper 50s that day and a low that night around 32, which means the game should be played mostly in the 40s. If you lose this game, you still made the playoff. Nobody can take that away from you, but it's going to leave a bitter taste in people's mouths. And I know, again, you have some people that speculate on the internet boards about, you know, what Coach DeBoer took over and you know, how he's got to be able to implement his system and get his players in here. But I'm not buying that. This is his second season. This is his program now. You know, Kurt Cignetti took over a program that had no success, and, you know, they're undefeated. You've seen other examples of that. This is his program. This is his team. And I'm not buying the excuse of, well, he's going to have more time. I mean, if you lose, you lose. You come back next year and you try to bounce back. But perception-wise for this program, how important is this game on Friday night?
Yeah. I think you just kind of summed it up. I think that, you know, if you lose this game, this is, like you said, the third time to lose to Oklahoma in just over a year. But it's also your third loss in your last four SEC games. You lost to Oklahoma. You beat Auburn, obviously. You had to win that one late on the road, which was a really good achievement. Then you go and, frankly, don't play very well against Georgia. I'll just leave it that way. And then if you go on the road and lose to Oklahoma, then you've lost three of your last four SEC games. So I agree with you. I think you lose this game, you go into next year. Well, this off season would be really long, and there would be a lot of bickering back and forth. I know that on message boards. So it would not be good from that perspective. But I'll say this on the flip side of that. What if you beat Oklahoma, then you get the shot in the Rose Bowl at Indiana, and you win that game, and suddenly you're in the semifinals, right? So it can work both ways. I mean, I think Alabama's capable of doing that. I'm not predicting that they will. But, I mean, I think this team is certainly, if they're playing at the top of their game and Ty is playing at the top of his game, I think they're certainly capable of beating Oklahoma on the road and then going to the Rose Bowl and beating Indiana. I'm not, again, be clear, Gary, I'm not predicting that. I'm saying this team is capable of that if they play their best football.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because that could, you know, we're talking about the perception of the season. It could be turned on its head as far as
totally
positive. And, you know,
totally,
you go out and you do, yeah, you make some hay in this playoff. And it's that's the great thing that, you know, Alabama has that opportunity. I think it says a lot to where we're at right now, is that I don't know how high the confidence meter is that Alabama's going to be able to do that. But if they do, you know, and it could be the type of momentum that could just propel you onto a huge season next year. Or you've already broken it down as far as keys to victory for the most part. But anything maybe that we haven't touched on, you know, a variable, something that a player, a something schematically that they might could do, something maybe that Alabama could do to increase their chances of winning, that maybe is not something that's just obvious as far as not turning the ball over, you know, and tie playing well. Any variable there that you see for the Crimson Tide that could help them in this game?
I think explosive plays.
Okay.
I think Alabama making explosive plays. I think, you know, can you hit a big throw or two here or there to kind of gain some momentum? But especially in this Oklahoma game, because I think, you know, obviously the crowd's going to be a factor there for them. But I think if you can, well, certainly you could do it different ways. I mean, you know, if you have some of those long possessions that Alabama's had, those drives that have ended in touchdowns like they did at Georgia. But I think if you could hit some explosive plays, you know, and kind of gain some confidence and take that crowd out of it, you know, that would be big. Because I look at Oklahoma offensively, Gary, they seem to be, over the last several weeks, they've kind of shut Mateer down a little bit. I know he had a big game in the I think it was against LSU, but he also had some interceptions in that game. You know, he had only thrown one interception in his last four or five games, and then all of a sudden they ask him to throw it more, and he gets picked three times. So I really think what Oklahoma wants to do is kind of play defense, play special teams, protect the football offensively, and they play it close to the vest. So I think if Alabama hits some explosive plays, you know, that may be too much for Oklahoma to overcome.
Well said, well stated. Before we wrap it up, just a quick thought from you on the commitment that Alabama received. I'm not I'm not going to say it came out of nowhere, but it caught me off guard yesterday. Great for local football fans since the young man played at Northridge High School, now at Itawamba Community College. Were you expecting this? What do you know about Alabama's latest commit?
Yeah, I mean, I know that last week he'd come out and posted that he'd gotten an Alabama offer, you know, so I assumed at that point that, you know, Alabama's not going to offer a 2026 kid at this point without planning to sign him. And, you know, you knew that with the opportunity in front of him, he would probably take it. And then last night, of course, he did. He tweeted out that, you know, his commitment. Nick Sherman had played at Northridge, played with mm-hmm. Wilkin Formby, obviously. You know, 6'2", plus, about 190, a good-looking physical specimen, corner. I think he's got 24 tackles this past season at Itawamba, had a couple of interceptions. So there's one thing for sure. This staff, certainly, they turn over every stone looking for a player. And, you know, some of these guys, I think, that they bring in aren't necessarily the most highly publicized or rated kids, but, you know, they do a thorough job of evaluating them.
Like you said, got the size. They like big corners, 6'2", 190. Nick Sherman right. started out at Itawamba as a wide receiver. But great. I love it when they sign local kids. And former Northridge Jag will be joining the Crimson Tide for next season. All right, Rodney, a quick word about TiderInsider.com.
Right. It's only $48 a year, TiderInsider.com. You can get instant access with your credit card if you prefer. There is an address there to send a check. Gives you all our premium information. But also, Gary, as you know, our All Sports Forum. And, I mean, really, there has been a lot of excellent exchange of information, opinions, and all of these things about where Alabama stands heading into this Oklahoma game and about, you know, Kalen DeBoer's situation and all of that. A lot of that discussion on TiderInsider.com right now.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Okay, buddy. Take care.
Flagship home of Alabama sports.
The road to the national title starts now.
Strike up the band and light them up.
The Crimson Tide looks to get revenge on the Oklahoma Sooners in the first round of the college football playoffs. Friday, December 19th. First round coverage starts at 4 p.m. on your home for Alabama football.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
The Tide Tailgate Show
is always on just before the Crimson Tide Sports Network live broadcast
on 95.3 The Bear
and Sports Radio Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC,
and online at 95.3thebear.com
and Tide100.9.com.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available
for you. Contact Courtney White at 205-242-5127. NorthRiverTimberCO@gmail.com. North River Timber Company.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans.
Easier for talented candidates to find it, which makes it easier for you to hire them. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily happy.
Forget their famous catch all batter. Bring that Catfish Heaven flavor home. Pick up a bag in local stores. Catfish Heaven, where every bite gets its halo.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather. A sunny sky.
today after a frigid morning, the high at 41. Clear tonight, not as cold as last night, the low 26. Tomorrow and Wednesday, mostly sunny both days with a warming trend. The high tomorrow 52, the high Wednesday 58. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 25 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to The Gary Harris Show.
Goal line in, touchdown, Alabama!
On your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9. And streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad.
All right, 9:59. That's going to wrap it up for hour number one of the Gary Harris Show. It's been brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. We got another big hour coming up, and we'll take more of your phone calls. We'll talk to Casey Smith. We will hear from Nate Oates. And it's a big week. Alabama gets ready to play Oklahoma on Friday night. As good as the weather is out there on Friday, it's even better on Saturday. Saturday, they're supposed to have a high like in the mid-60s. But Alabama plays the Friday night game. Everybody else plays on Saturday. But it's a big weekend ahead for college football. So we're excited about that. We'll talk more about it in hour number two of the Gary Harris Show on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WCBC.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Chris Perfett.
Vikings took down the Cowboys 34-26 in Sunday Night Football, all but killing off Cowboys' chances for playoffs. They would need to win out their last three games, and the Eagles would have to lose all three of their remaining games for Dallas to make the playoffs. Major injury news around the NFL hit yesterday. Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes left the game against the Chargers with about 2 minutes to go. MRI results reveal he has torn his ACL and the season is over. Meanwhile, for the Packers, Micah Parsons is also feared to have torn his ACL, according to sources. Packers wide receiver Christian Watson left the game with a chest injury. He was taken to the hospital for further evaluation, but no significant damage was revealed. He should
find affordable treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. hims.com/radio.
The Gary Harris Show. UCM host Tider Insider TV. Crimson Tide kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, hour number two of the Gary Harris Show for this Monday, December 15th, 2025. Gary Harris, Chase Brumfield with you for another hour. Our thanks to Rodney Orr for joining us in hour number one. Casey Smith coming up at 10:30 here in hour number two. And we're going to get to that Nate Oates audio. Real quick thought before we take a phone call. Because obviously football this week is huge with what, you know, Alabama has on tap against Oklahoma on Friday night. But Saturday night was an excellent opportunity for Alabama against the number one team in the country in Birmingham at Legacy Arena. The place was rocking. And Alabama played a first half that was very good. Had a lead. I thought had a chance. I think I had got out by seven. I think wound up leading by two at the break, but played well. And then we saw in the second half what has been the demise for this team in all three of its losses this year. Big, physical, really good teams. First of all, Alabama's a good team. They've lost to Purdue, Gonzaga, and Arizona. Okay, let's be clear. They lost to three of the best teams in the country. But Alabama wants to be one of the best teams in the country. And they're a good team. I think they're in that next tier behind the elite teams. Michigan's certainly in there as well. They didn't play Michigan, but there's a group of elite teams, and then I think there's some really good teams. Alabama's in the really good team category. But to be elite, you just can't get hammered on the backboard the way they do in these games. And I don't know that – here's my thing. How much can you do about it? It's kind of like Alabama football with a run game. Well, we need to run the ball better. But can you really? I mean, are you set up to run the ball better? Same thing with basketball. I mean, well, you got to rebound better. You know, you got to keep teams off the offensive glass. But are you really set up to do that? I mean, you know, playing four out and one in a lot, a lot of guards. Sherrill is a physical specimen, but he doesn't seem to be a great rebounder. Blocked a lot of shots the other night. So it's one thing to say, well, we got to rebound better, but I don't know. I mean, the way this roster is constructed, I don't know how much, you know, they can, if this could be a great rebounding team. And that's where they missed Diabate. You know, Mo Diabate, who's now at Kentucky, was not a great player, but he was an energy guy. He wasn't the biggest guy, but he pounded the glass. He really set the tone defensively. I think he's missed on this particular team. All right, let's take some phone calls, and they're lined up for us here in hour number two. We're going to lead off with Bryce, and then we'll get to Phillip. Hey, Bryce.
Well, guys, the key is to go up to Oklahoma and play like we played the first game. Don't turn the ball over, and if we can establish a running game, that would be to our favor. That's the recipe I see for winning the football game Friday night. But, however, getting back to why I got it on my mind, that did not surprise me about Papia. That one deal, a bit. I always thought that's the kind of guy he was, and he showed it the other night. You know.
All right, let's because I was going to get to it in this hour. Let's make aware that everyone's aware of what you're talking about. Diego Pavia finished second in the Heisman Trophy voting, behind Fernando Mendoza of Indiana. He handled himself well at the ceremony, seemed to be fine, then went out after the ceremony and sent out a nasty Instagram post where he basically said, F you to, didn't basically, he did say F you to the voters. Then at a party, he put out a nasty video and just really showed, like you said, a lack of class. And Vanderbilt, I think, tried to do some damage control. There was a well-constructed apology that was put out last night, but the damage was done. I mean, the kid, well, Johnny Manziel is his idol role model, so that I tell you all you need to know. But I'm with you. That was totally classless, what he did.
Wow. You took the words out of my mouth when you said about who he's been hanging out with, and I need to say more. And that's exactly where I was coming with this here. You know, what positive thing could we think him hanging out with him would take place? And I'm gonna leave it at that. You know, it's not worth talking about anymore. But like I said, it didn't surprise me at all. He just showed his true colors. You know, and I've always thought that. You know,
but well, it's just odd because he's at a school that is kind of predicated on academic integrity and class and all of those things. And I'm sure they've tried to work with him the best they can. But some of the things that he does, and you're right. First of all, this is not a knock on Mendoza. I thought Mendoza deserved the Heisman Trophy. Mendoza's numbers, yeah, a lot of years would not even have gotten him to New York. This has not been a great year. Same thing with Love, the running back from Notre Dame. I mean, there's been a lot of Alabama backs that had better stats than that. But in the year that it is, Mendoza, I think, deserved it. But for Pavia to conduct himself the way he did, it was really disrespectful. And you could, you know, if you're always having to apologize, and he seems to have to do that a lot, then that tells you right there you're not conducting yourself the way that you should. You know, If you conduct yourself the way that you should conduct yourself, then you're not having to go around apologizing all the time. But it is what it is.
I hate it for Vanderbilt's coach, Clark Lee. He's just a stand-up.
Well, you know what? I don't hate it for him. And I know what you're saying. I love Clark Lee. I think he's done an exceptional job. But, you know, that's his player. And Clark Lee deserves some responsibility, if you ask me. I mean, he coaches him. I'm not saying he condones it. But all he ever does is praise Diego Pavia every opportunity he gets. And, you know, if he really was concerned about how he conducts himself, it looks like he could have more of an influence on the guy. So I know what you're saying, but to me, the head coach, you know, this player is their best player. He represents the head coach as well.
Well, I would like to see him come out and Clark Lee say that we don't condone that at Vanderbilt. And,
Well, he's not going to do that. That's what I'm telling you. He's not going to do that. He's had many of opportunities from other things that Diego's done to say that we don't condone that, and that's not who we are. But all he does is praise the guy, because the guy has delivered for them what they wanted him to deliver, and that is a winning culture. That is a team now that is relevant and wins. So they've let him do – Vanderbilt has let him do whatever he has wanted to do. So some of it's on Vanderbilt, some of it's on Clark Lee, in my opinion.
Well – Is he gonna get that extra year? I hope he don't get it for Vanderbilt.
Well, he said he wasn't. He said he was going pro, but yeah, he did not drop the lawsuit. So my guess is if he gets awarded another year, my guess is they'll come back. But we'll just have to wait and see.
And a shout out to Mr. Phillips for being as old as he was, and hadn't played in a while. He didn't do that bad, you know. They almost won,
The Colts should have won the game. Phillip Rivers did everything he needed to do for them to win the game. He put them in position yesterday to win the game. I'm with you. I thought Phillip Rivers was fantastic. And against a really good team in Seattle, what a story. What a day in the NFL yesterday. But for Phillip Rivers to come back at 44 years of age, having not played in 5 years against one of the best defenses in the NFL, and put his team in the lead, with a chance to win the game, and the defense could not hold it. That was outstanding. Hey, great phone call. Appreciate you, Bryce. Let's get to Phillip here on the hotline. Hey, Phillip.
Hey, Jerry. I think the thing about that Arizona game that I remembered was we went from Fran Fischella, one of the announcers, talking about, we're seeing the best of Alabama basketball right now. Arizona's seeing the best of Alabama right now, and this is as good as it gets. I mean, he was gushing over that. And then I'm telling you, Gary, in 15 minutes of real time, we went from that to getting our doors blown off. It was just an unrelentless, very, very impressive showing that Arizona put on away from home. And that's a good team. And I think they're going to be a team to contend with late in the March, but just a good team. But Alabama, I think, I talked to Winter Barrett earlier. I think Oates is going to have to reevaluate how he looks at big men and how he evaluates big men going forward. I think you got to have a guy that can move and play with quickness. Rebounding is not only about being big and being in position. You got to be quick. You got to be quick with your hands and getting your arms up to go along with that positioning.
Well, they should have that. I mean, Bowles athletic. They brought in some guys that Sherrell's athletic. I mean, the kid they brought in from Charleston State is athletic. So it's not like other than the kid from Bucknell, most of their bigs are athletic type of bigs. So I know what you're saying, but I don't know. I'm a little disappointed, and obviously like everybody is in the second half. But I'm also, and I know some of it's been injuries, but we're halfway through December here. Settle on a rotation. Mm-hmm. You never know from game to game who's going to play, who's going to start. At least that's what it feels like. You got to start settling in on that. I think Arizona basically played eight guys the other night. Phillip, you got to kind of settle in on a 9-man rotation here and get some continuity and some symmetry here with this team. I mean, I don't know from game to game, like I said, other than Filon and Holloway when he's healthy, the rest of the team, heck, man, I don't know who's going to be getting minutes at what positions. So I'd like to see a little more of a rhythm to the team. But anyway, Nate Oates will figure it out. He's a great coach.
Yeah, well, we're going to have to. And I'm telling you, we've got three games coming up, and there's two of them. I think we've got to take all of them seriously, obviously. But I don't think South Florida is going to get big gimme. And that Yale game is coming at a great time for Yale. It's the last Saturday, the last weekend of the year, right before ACC play takes place. And they're the kind of team that can come into your house and beat you. You can just ask Auburn about Yale. But as far as football goes, today is really Tuesday. Tomorrow's Wednesday. And then Thursday's travel day. So
that's right.
Hopefully Alabama can roll off that plane Thursday and get that mind right, because it's all, you know, there's so much good positive stuff at stake. I mean, just to have a chance to go to the Rose Bowl, they ought to be biting at the bits to get out there and perform well.
Yeah, I'm with you. I wish the game was on Saturday. I wish it would. But it's on Friday night, and you got the only game. So you're right. Just move everything up a day. But huge game for Alabama football. I think that a lot of fans, fairly or unfairly now, that they've gotten through the Iron Bowl and won that one and then played poorly against Georgia, are going to have their entire feeling of how they feel about this program based on what happens on Friday night. So a win would be big.
Sure would. Well, good talk to you, Gary.
All right, Phil. Thank you, man. Good to hear from you. Appreciate the phone calls here in this segment. Let's look ahead to the next segment. If we get phone calls, we'll take them. If not, I'm going to try to play this Nate Oates audio. He has some interesting comments following the game and the loss to Arizona. Hey, guys, if you're dealing with fatigue, stress, poor sleep, low libido, weight gain, these aren't just everyday annoyances. They can be signs that your body needs support. At game day, Men's Health in Tuscaloosa, they get to the root of these symptoms and deliver treatment plans tailored to your goals. It's an easy process. Come by and see them at their office at 1013 Street East in Tuscaloosa and go through a three-step plan. Step one, complete intake and simple blood work. Get results in 15 minutes. Step two, meet with a clinic director who specializes in hormone therapy and men's health. And step three, begin your customized treatment plan, and you're on your way to better health and energy. They specialize in testosterone health, ED treatment, weight loss therapy, peptides, and vitamin therapy. All you have to do if you're not feeling your best is get by and see them. It's a beautiful facility, professional staff. I know, I've been through it, and you'll feel better almost immediately. Get back in the game at Game Day Men's Health. All right, we'll be back with more of the Gary Harris Show right after this.
West Alabama real-time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here are the Tuscaloosa Thread headlines. The coldest temperature since February covered the state overnight, according to ABC 3340 Chief Meteorologist James Spann.
We have a freeze all the way to the Gulf Coast. Gulf Shores 28 early this morning.
It will also be sub-freezing tonight. This is a Buddhist month on a 120-day, 2,300-mile journey.
Lineup offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three.
Call 800-8000 or visit Meswins.com. I've got this.
No representations made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans.
On track two is delayed.
And all the while, you were on your commute home. There's more to imagine when you listen. Discover romance titles on Audible.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A sunny sky today after a frigid morning, the high at 41. Clear tonight, not as cold as last night, the low 26. Tomorrow and Wednesday, mostly sunny both days with a warming trend. The high tomorrow 52, the high Wednesday 58. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 28 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Want to know what's going on with the Crimson Tide? Download the Tide 100.9 app today.
Score! Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring. Snowing and blowing up bushels of fun.
Loving the Christmas music here on the Gary Harris Show. 10 days away. Beautiful day. Nice and chilly, but great, great, great mid-December day. All right, Alabama men's basketball came up short, obviously, on Saturday night against number one ranked Arizona at the Legacy Arena in Birmingham. Bama led at half, but got their doors blown off in the second half. Following the game, Nate Oates met with the media, and this is what he had to say about it.
Yeah,
they're obviously a really good team. There's no reason to mourn the country. And I thought first half would play pretty well. We were down 5 on the glass. Needed to clean it up a little bit. And then the second half, we've had this issue. We just haven't had very good starts. So the second half, we came out, didn't have a good start. And it just progressively got worse. I think they scored 39 the entire first half. They had 39 in less than 12 minutes to start the second half. So start of the second half was bad. Obviously, they came out of halftime ready to play. We didn't. The toughness factor was a problem. I mean, it's impossible. I shouldn't say impossible. It's nearly impossible to win a game when your opponent gets 28 more field goal attempts than you. I mean, if you look, we outshot them from the field and from the free throw line, both, you know, percentage-wise, free throws, they made one more free throw than we did, and they got 28 more field goal attempts. So, like, you can't win games giving your opponent 28 more field goal attempts. So, offensive glass, we had 3 the whole game. They had 22. You know, we lost the rebounds by 20 again. This has been a recurring issue with us. To Purdue, I think we lost by 24. Gonzaga beat us. I mean, it's like when we play these tough physical teams, we haven't answered the bell real well on the glass. You know, I thought Barron did a pretty good job on the defensive end, ended up with Tad. But, you know, they had two guys, starting center in Krivas and their backup center in Waka, that combined for 16 on boards and combined for 29 rebounds total. So, you know, if you look, our team had 32, two team rebounds. So our guys combined for 30 rebounds and their two bigs combined for 29. So we've got rebounding issues. Until we fix them, we're not really going to be able to beat a good team. You know, we had 2 solid wins in St. John's and Illinois, but the 3 elite teams we played, we've lost 2 because we got our tails kicked on the glass, and today was just as bad as maybe worse than the other, because at least against Purdue, we got a few old boards ourselves. We didn't get any, and we ended up with 1. Keith Bristol got 1 old board second half. We had 1 offensive rebound the entire second half. So, and then you include the turnovers. We only turned them over 4 times. They got some really good guards, you know, and we got turned over 15 times. So, you talk about the possession game, you look at old boards and turnovers, we're minus 30 combined, minus 19 on the old boards, minus 11 on the turnovers. When you lose the possession game by 30, the opponent gets 28 more field goal attempts, and it's nearly impossible to win a game like that.
Questions for players, Emily?
I guess, your first double-double
today.
Can you just talk a little bit about that and, you know, what emphasis you put on defense
when you match up? We try to make an emphasis all week. You know, the guards had to come down and try to rebound, try to get some, you know, more rebounds for our bigs. I think, you know, I did a good job at that in the first half. Really didn't get too many rebounds in the second half. I think I could have did a better job of crashing the glass on the offensive end. But, you know, we just got to keep working. I think, the better we get is going to be, like, when we really just sit down on defense, be physical, and just keep guys out of the paint. Just rebound the ball. It's simple, and it's going to be, like, as simple as that. You can't make it no harder than that. You just got to go out there and do a tough play.
Chase. Johnny. Nate, the second half there, when they went on that 28-6 run, you elected to let your guys play through it. Just the rationale for not taking the timeout there, it led them kind of sit with it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, call a timeout and tell them play harder. Or call a timeout and make adjustments. I'm not going to call a timeout and tell them play harder. These guys are supposed to be competitors. Compete, play hard. So I didn't think there was any defensive adjustments to make. The adjustment was made to play harder. So if the adjustments to play are, they need to figure that out on the fly.
Sure.
Lucille, how are you feeling physically? It seems like you were working through some things on the sideline for times.
I feel good. I mean, just getting back into play takes some time, but I feel good. Clark has been really good with me, helping my body out and just continuing to go throughout the season, but I feel good.
Hey.
Great, dear player. Just what would y'all attribute the slow second half starts to, and kind of what do you need to do to fix this going forward?
I would say turnover is definitely. I feel like I made a couple bad passes myself. You know, just getting in the lane, not knowing where we're going with the ball. I would say I made a couple of mistakes, but just really getting back in transition. And like Coach said, it's been way more physical that, you know, we've been in the first half. We already knew that, you know, some of their guys were going to come out and be aggressive. Like, we was, you know, trying to whip the screens at the point of attack and, you know, stop the guys from getting downhill. And they saw that and they took a chance to just, you know, step back and hit a couple threes. But, you know, we just had to get guys off the line, be way better on defense and, like Coach said, rebounding basketball. So I think that was the sum of the second half.
Anything else for the players? Sorry, last one for the players. Nate, just wanted to ask you about the rebounding again. Noah Williamson kind of finding his way to play at this level. How much more are you going to need from him from a rebounding standpoint where he's going to earn his minutes?
Yeah, I mean, we got to get a lot more. I thought he did. This week's been his best week of practice. I think he's been playing a lot better. He only had one rebound in just under 11 minutes, which isn't enough, but I did think he brought a level of physicality to the game. I thought he got a tough whistle on one old board he got. So, you know, I think he can give us some solid minutes. We obviously played Trail too much. You know, I played over 14 minutes in the first half and started full body cramping there early in the second. You only got 20 minutes in. It's the highest player load he'd ever had in the first half and a half. So what we're going to have to figure out, whether it's Noah, Keaton, somebody there, kind of give him more backup minutes to five that'll rebound the ball for us, because he's got to get some help. I mean, shoot, he played well. Played 20 minutes, had 7 points, 5 rebounds, 8 blocks. You know, I mean, 8 blocks in 20 minutes, pretty good day for him. So we got to get him, you know, I got to do a better job getting him better breaks, particularly prior there that first half. And we got to keep him on the floor a little bit more.
All right, good stuff there from Nate Oates, along with LeBaron Failon and Latrell Reitzel. Talked a lot about rebounding. You heard what he had to say about it. And, you know, he's a great coach. Hopefully they'll get it figured out. Right now, they got issues on the backboard. All right, we're going to take a timeout. We're going to come back with Casey Smith on golf and a lot to cover as far as golf is concerned as we get ready for the 2026 season. And we'll talk a little Bama football and basketball with Casey as well. That's coming up next here on the Gary Harris Show. Before we hit the break, though, I want to remind you the YMCA of Tuscaloosa is ready for you, and you're ready for the Y, 2313 Street downtown. It's a great time to go ahead and get in now, get some workouts in before the new year, get joined up, and be ready to go in 2026. All right, we'll come back with Casey Smith here on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama sports.
To go gliding in the one-horse sleigh.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after
Monday. ZzzQuil Pure Z's. Just for sleep. Really great sleep. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And, of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big-screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos feature
at Chow's Country Buffet. And don't forget to save room for their delicious desserts. Happy holidays, and thank you for choosing them. Visit Chow's at 1100 Skyland Boulevard.
Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 10:33. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. Time to break away from football and basketball for a few minutes for Casey Smith on golf, although we'll ask him about the Tide in both those sports. But we'll start out with the golf news of the day. How's it going, Casey?
Hey, doing well, Gary. Hope you're well. Hope you had a great weekend.
Sure did. Good to have you on. We don't hear nearly as much about Q School anymore with the way the tours have changed, but it's still out there, and it's still a big, big deal. And five players earned PGA Tour cards at the Q School over the weekend. So just life-changing, just a life-changing, opportunity for these guys. Can you fill us in on who moves up to the big tour?
Yeah, so very life-changing. And, I mean, there was a lot of drama with it, you know, leading up to there was a they held second stage. This is final stage. Second stage Q School. One of the sites, Valdosta, actually, they only were able to play three rounds. They were in their fourth round, and they had people. This is how crazy it is. They had people that were going to make it into the final stage, but due to the weather washing out the total round, not being able to get the round in, they went from in to out. And it's caused a big mess because, you know, all the other sites were a four-round site. So that was, you know, some drama that was heading into the final stage. None of our guys really moved up any, did themselves any more favors. Most of them were really playing to improve status. You know, I mean, Trey Mullinaxel will have some starts as a past champion. He was trying to earn more starts. He'll have full status on the Corn Ferry Tour, and he'll have some status on the tour. But the main movers, you know, were AJ Everest and Adam Svensson, Alejandro Tosti, Marcelo Rosso, and Dylan Wu. And those five earned PGA Tour cards. And, you know, they win some money with it. And then there were some guys, though, that missed out, like total misses, too. Camilo Villegas, Cameron Champ, Russell Knox, Adam Hadwin, two-time President Cupper, Harry Hicks.
Big names.
They're all going to have Corn Ferry status, but and then they'll play off some of their past champion stuff. And a lot of them try to hold that to when they need it. Because all those guys have won before. But yeah, I mean, that's just part of the churn and the grind of really how hard it is. Ben Coles, he'll have full Corn Ferry status, but he was the one that was on the sort of just, he was in and he was going to be one of the five, and he finished 145 on the FedEx Cup fall list. And he was in the final stage, and then he just had a couple of costly holes. And you see just the pressure, you know, pressure breaks pipes. And it was a really pressure packed moment. You're playing for your job if you're him, you know, and you feel for those guys because, I mean, there's a big difference in checks that you're playing on a weekly basis by finishing in that one spot out of those guys that made the top five.
Yeah, some big names that came up short. There was an event over the weekend, a mixed field event. Andrew Novak and Lauren Coughlin won the Grant Thornton Invitational. It's the second team title of the year for Novak, who had a breakout season in 2025. And, again, I'm not huge on these events, but, you know, it's nice, I guess, for men and women to get to play together some. Kind of recap that for us.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Grant Thornton Invitational, a little bit of the silly season. Next we got the Tiburon Golf Club. They're the winners. You know, Kupcho and Goddard were second. Nelly Korda, Denny McCarthy were third. And then, you know, our guy, Bud Cauley, played with Jessica Korda. It was her first start back from maternity break, and they're friends. Oh, wow. She asked him apparently to play. I think the ladies actually are in, and they get to invite the male, and so she invited Bud Cauley. They finished 13th. Sounds like they had a great time with it. Yeah, it's more of a made for TV thing, and I think they do it to test to see if this mixed pairings would work during the year. At a bigger event, you know, if there's a way to incorporate that and see what viewership is. So, yeah, I mean, they obviously picked up some not bad to go play golf with friends and pick up some, you know, extra money as well. And so now, really, you know, the PGA Tour season, given the Champions event in Maui was moved back or canceled for now, it opens back up January 15th. And the Sony Open in Hawaii, and then goes into the American Express. And, you know, it seems like the Tiger Woods, based on some of what he said, we really are going to have a different 2027 is the goal. They're certainly already locked in for 2028 being different. I heard some more about it. 2027 is really their goal to make it look different. So I think as this year goes, you'll continue to see some changes. And, you know, the one other thing in golf is what Brooks Koepka does. Is he going to go back and play live again, or is he going to just continue his sitting out from the last time he played? to then make it that 1 year.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. When we get to 2027, I sense that you, and I know I feel the same way, I sense we're going to like these changes. It's going to be a lot better for the tour, it feels like.
I think what happens is it gets golf fans an idea of who's playing when and where. The events become bigger. They're going to get all the bigger players in the events. I mean, that's what Tiger's getting to. It's going to end up being 125 players, top 125 players. They're going to incorporate a lot more. I think you're going to start seeing more college, that PGA Tour U. They're seeing how good those guys are. They can come out there and play early. You'll see more spots going that way. Those guys are all living in Jupiter. So if they may be on live, they may be on the tour. You know, they're doing their homework on the back channel. So I would say what Brooks Koepka does really will be a big sign of what's to come. I think you could see a really gold rush of players back over if he sits and decides to start this instead of it being, you know, I thought we were thinking this year maybe. Now we're thinking 27 is the first year. Did they all want to start that? And then, you know, knowing that 28 is the real big first year Tiger's looking to change, you'll start seeing them all come back.
Wow. I'm
this is for the betterment of the tour, is what he said. He's like, this is what we want to look at, is the tour putting its best product out there every week and not some, you know, marginalized product with half the field.
Yep. All right. Brian Rolapp, the new PGA Tour CEO, trying to put his stamp on some things and some big news with, you hear certain names and you just associate them, certain brands with the PGA Tour. The Cadillac Championship is coming back, and I'm pretty excited about that, Casey.
Yeah, I mean, it's a legacy brand, and I was reading that. I thought, well, that's good. I think that you're going to continue to see things like that happen as they're doing this with a lot of thought, right? You're getting people on to be in sponsors now that they know they're going to get even more prime time, return on their investment. So it's exciting that Tiger Woods really, it's someone that puts a lot of thought into preparation for everything he's done, had a lot of success to everything he's done. It's really awesome that he's taken such a leadership role in this.
All right, let me ask you about you're connected. Any, not that he's told anybody, so you may not have any info, but any insight into when Justin Thomas, I ask you this every week, I guess, and I know we're both kind of feeling like he wants to be back by Masters, but any chance he could be back for the Players? You get any intel on
JT's? No, I know. Yeah, I just heard. I heard healing, and I heard Masters with Players being like, you really means his rehab is going ahead of time. You know, but I think Masters, his goal is to come back and play a full schedule from the Masters on.
All right, looking forward to that. Real quick thought from you on football and men's basketball. Let's start with men's basketball. Good first half against Arizona, and then the bugaboo for this team. Of course, obviously, most people lose to Arizona, Gonzaga, and Purdue. I mean, so it's not like Alabama's the Lone Ranger there, but they just don't seem to match up on the backboard with these big physical teams. And you can talk all you want about we got to rebound better. My question is, much like Alabama football, running the ball, you know, is that really who you are? I mean, you can talk about it all you want till you blue in the face. I don't know that Alabama's roster is constructed in the style of play that they have is conducive to really matching up with these teams on the backboard. What do you say?
Yeah, I mean, I think for now, and Coach Oates said it, there's a rebounding problem. And I think that, you know, that means you got to make more shots and get in games like that. And, you know, the part of what makes this system special is everyone's got a green light and you're shooting, but then those shots have got to go in. And so, I don't know, maybe the Players are a little bit more selective, but I mean, that he wants to play at a warp speed pace. And I think you just got to get it becomes, hopefully you don't get matched up with someone with a big backcourt that's going to slow a game down in the tournament. Otherwise, we're handling teams and we're going to handle teams as the system, as the season continues. I mean, you said it. I mean, we've lost three of the best teams in the country. I think we'll, you know, it looks like I thought we may have the chance to have the best team we've ever had. looks like probably a little light in the backcourt. And so, I mean, it's definitely a top 15 team. It's not a top 10 team. So, yeah, you're going to have to rebound. I mean, they're going to have to fight, scratch, and claw and rebound better. And so when we rebound well, you see what happens, right? But we can't get into the deficit rebounding that we have. I'm still really bullish on this team, though. I think you're going to wear people down as the season goes. Very deep means a lot. You know, a lot of these other teams with big backcourts aren't as deep. And as for football, you know, it's we should have beat Oklahoma many different times. You know, we shouldn't have ever even been close the way the stat line read against them here in Tuscaloosa. And so I think got to find a way to run the ball through the quick game, quick passing game, quick screens, not putting Ty in a drop back scenario, maybe getting him under center more, bootlegs, things like that to move the pocket, move them while creating sort of a quasi-running game through the passing game.
Let me get your feeling.
Defense has got to go play lights out.
Yeah. Let me get your prediction on Alabama-Oklahoma Friday night.
Yeah, I mean, I think I like us to win, and I like a 27-21 Bama game. I could also see it going, you know, 20-17. I hope it doesn't come down to a field goal, but I'll just save that for any bad juju out there. So I like us to win. I think it's hard to beat a team twice, and they beat us, and they, you know, we shouldn't have lost. So it'll be hard, but, you know, this team's season, I was in Athens. I watched us beat go to war with Georgia and went toe-to-toe and beat them. So we can go on the road and win in Athens, who's a better team than Oklahoma, and we can go on the road and beat Oklahoma.
Great stuff as always, Casey. Appreciate it, man.
And I like Coach DeBoer off of bye week, too. You know? Record speaks for itself.
Thanks,
thanks, Gary.
It's a big game. It's a big game. Thank you, Casey. Appreciate you very much. 10:46, and lunch is right around the corner. Why don't you check out Rock and Roll Sushi, downtown University Boulevard. Got some great lunch specials. Obviously, the sushi speaks for itself. If you've been there, you know they got the best sushi in town. But they got some really neat lunch specials, too. Those little hibachi bowls. Chicken, shrimp, steak, however you want it, with the rice and the veggies. I love it. I'm telling you that right now. Really neat place. So check them out for lunch, Rock and Roll Sushi. Right, we'll come back and wrap up the Gary Harris Show. Wide open phone calls in this final segment at 205-342-9904. We'll bring it back right after this.
Like that.
Now all you have to worry about is Pam cheating at charades.
Breathe happy, so breathe, la la.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A sunny sky today after a frigid morning, the high at 41. Clear tonight, not as cold as last night, the low 26. Tomorrow and Wednesday, mostly sunny both days with a warming trend. A high tomorrow 52, the high Wednesday 58. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 28 degrees in Tuscaloosa. Hot!
Alabama fans are all over the world, and we are too. Download the Tide 100.9 app right now in the App Store and Google Play, and take the Crimson Tide everywhere you go.
Holly, jolly Christmas, it's the best time of the year. Now, I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and when you walk down the street.
All right, 10:51, welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. The news coming out this morning out of Gainesville. I don't think it's a shock, but while he's had a up and down career, he's a very talented football player. DJ Lagway announcing that he is going into the portal. Of course, John Summerall coming in, new head coach, new system there. Lagway will have a lot of suitors because of the fact that he is big, he's strong, he's athletic. Chase, you've seen Lagway. And, you know, as I said, it's been an up-and-down career for him. It seems like a perfect time for him to go into the portal. There'll be a lot of teams in the SEC, I think, that are interested, not to mention around the country. He'll demand a pretty high price, I'm sure, in NIL. Do you have any thoughts on where he might wind up? And what about Mississippi State? with Jeff Levy, any thoughts on DJ Lagway?
I would love for him to be down in Starkville, especially under Levy's offense and how well some of the quarterbacks did down there. But I wouldn't be surprised if he went down to Baton Rouge with Lane Kiffin. You know, he likes explosive quarterbacks that can be a dual threat, especially in his system. But I expected DJ to transfer. You know, he's learning a new system, coming up as a junior, and I feel like DJ, he needs a little bit more of a system around, something that's not being shifted or something that's stable. Like I feel like a Mississippi State or Florida, teams like that have a good pedigree, and Florida's trying to find their way and trying to find their identity back. And DJ doesn't want to be, I would assume, while he's transferring, he doesn't want to be in a rebuild season. He wants to win. He wants to, you know, get out there and be a Heisman favorite, someone that can change a team and for the better. And DJ has the skills. He's had injuries along the way, unfortunately. But looking at his stats, he's gotten progressively better. But I feel like Lane Kiffin for sure would able to fix his mechanics and really get the ball rolling, because he is a very phenomenal quarterback, which should have had a promising season. But because of the turmoil that Florida had this season, and especially with the firing of Billy Napier, I feel like DJ would have something better with a different team.
Yeah, he'll get a lot of interest, and it'll be interesting to see where he winds up. Like you said, you know, Kiffin working with him could be good. I think there's some other schools in the SEC that will take a look, and then certainly around the country. He's got a lot of experience. As I said, he's got all the physical attributes. So that's a big name as far as the portal is concerned. For Alabama, we're not really focused on the portal right now. I think that's one of the advantages of being in the playoff, is that you know, most of your players are going to be dialed into that. I do think Alabama will have some portal movement after the season. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Every team will. But I think Alabama is in really good shape to bring back the guys that they want on their roster. They've got a nice recruiting class coming in. And so it'll be interesting, as it always is. Hey, let me get your thoughts, Chase. We've got a couple more minutes here, 205-342-9904. If you want to get in with a phone call, you can, before we close it out. We brought up a couple big stories that impact football fans in our state. First, Phillip Rivers coming back and doing everything that he could. I thought that he played really well. He put his team out to a lead. Seattle came back and took the lead, and then he led Indianapolis to a field goal with 40-something seconds to go in the game. That should have given their team an opportunity to win the game. But Seattle, with no team timeouts, was able to get in position to kick a field goal. But I thought Phillip Rivers, as I expected he would, I thought he acquitted himself very well yesterday for the Colts.
100%, Gary. Phillip played well, 18 of 27, 120 yards passing, and a touchdown. You know, he was a little rusty. You could tell not really the mechanics was there from when he was a little younger down with the Chargers when they were in San Diego. But what a phenomenal story, Gary, for somebody that's a high school coach, got called up by one of his buddies to really save the season for the Colts, and how crazy their QB room has been this season, and to ultimately go toe-to-toe with one of the best teams in the NFC, speaks to Phillip and his determination and really who he is as a person. I think this is not just going to be a stop. I think Phillip has much more in the tank now. How he gets his body back into the frame of a game-to-game situation, that'd be interesting. But Phillip is a competitor. He's fiery. He's not afraid of any defense. He will trash talk any D line out there. And honestly, it was so cool to see Phillip out there and just getting his reps back in and just thinking the ball back and forth, you know, because he loves football. He coaches it. He lives it. you know, and it's just cool to see him out there because he is a very phenomenal quarterback. And it seemed like he wasn't losing a step, Gary. He was in the faces and he was ready to bring the Colts to a win. But obviously the Seahawks are a better team, and we'll see what happens the rest of the season for Phillip. I expect him to stay unretired for a little bit longer.
Yeah, I do too. And our last topic, final minute, just your reaction. Let me say again about Pobby. I think he's a terrific player. He is a tough kid. He is hard-nosed, gritty, gutty, loves the game of football, has absolutely brought Vanderbilt up from the depths of despair to one of the top programs in the country. Having said that, you know, he goes on shows. He professes his faith. He says, you know, through finding Jesus. And again, I'm not judging anybody. I don't want, you know, I'm not fit to judge anybody. But he says those things for the record. And then he conducts himself sometimes in a manner that is far from what he says the person he wants to be. And the way he conducted himself on that Heisman Trophy, I thought he was great at the ceremony. But to go out and tell the voters to F themselves, and then to put out a video that was just totally in lack of class. You can't just keep saying my bad. You know, who you are as a person is often, you know, we see who you are. So, you know, you say one thing, you do another, then you say my bad. Just your reaction to Pavia over the weekend.
Gary, it's very unfortunate. I'm a big fan of Diego Pavia and his play at Vandy and what he's done for that program, but how you handle yourself off the field matters more. Especially when you're being viewed as one of the best quarterbacks in the country, going to New York, representing Vanderbilt and what they're doing right now. That's a bad look. And I agree with you 100%. Gary, if you're having to apologize again and again and again, there's no need to apologize. That's just really your character. And that is just a testament to anything. And hopefully Dio can change. I believe in changing everybody. But it's just, it's one thing after the other, you know, with the whole situation with Theo Vaughn this year and, you know, with his mom, and then with the comments to Tennessee, and now with being represented with Vandy down in New York and potentially winning it. You know, you hold class with a win and a loss. You shouldn't change regardless of it, and it's unfortunate. And hopefully Diego can learn from this. This isn't a recurring act. But especially someone's playing in the NFL, a lot of teams watch that, you know, and you can be a representation of that team, and they don't really look for that. So hopefully Dio can clean it up and be better because of the situation.
All right, that's where we're going to end it. Been a good show today. Thanks, Chase, for your great work there. Reminder that Alabama practice is open to the media for a session this morning. Media opportunities for players and coaches this afternoon. We'll have coverage on WVOA 23 on the news at 5. I'll be anchoring the news, but Alex Booth will be in with the sports. And then, of course, tomorrow I'll be back with the Tuesday edition of the Gary Harris Show. It's going to be a big week. We're going to have a lot of fun. Chase Brumfield, I'm Gary Harris. Miller's Edge is coming up next. Have a great day, everybody.
Mistletoe is hung where you can see. Somebody waits for you, just so once for me. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and in case you didn't hear.
Thank you for listening.